धन्यवाद अभिषेक. थैंक यू अभिषेक. एंड डियर लिसनर्स, साई राम फ्रॉम प्रशांति निलयम, द मोस्ट हैपनिंग प्लेस ऑन द प्लैनेट, एज आई ऑलवेज से. And as a testimony to this, look at the huge number of people from all over the globe who congregated in this divine hamlet to celebrate joyous Christmas. The Sai Kulwant Hall was overflowing, and Prashanti was brimming with people of all hues, colors and cultures. Christmas 2012 was indeed a sight to behold, with those blue, white and green hearts all over the Sai Kulwant Hall, all over Prashanti Nilayam, along with those huge pictures of Lord Jesus Christ and Bhagwan Baba. What a magnificent labor of love was this by the Sai devotees from New Zealand and USA. And the most thrilling part is this: Bhagwan making his presence felt with the mysterious manifestation of Vibhuti and Kumkum on the huge Christmas candle placed right in front of the Mahasamadhi. It was an acknowledgement of his grace, of his presence, of his benediction for all the sincere efforts put in by hundreds and thousands of devotees and volunteers to offer their love to Swami in the most beautiful manner possible on this holy, holy, auspicious day. And each of the programs, be it the Christmas Eve carols or the early morning carol singing at 6:30 a.m. or the performance by the students at 8:30 a.m. or the overseas children's choir in the evening, or the lovely presentation by the South African Sai children on 26th evening, each of them was so suffused with love that it did touch everyone's heart. Christmas indeed was unforgettable, especially for those who were in Prashanti Nilayam for the first time in their lives. The brotherhood and universal love and peace they experienced here during this time is something they cherish and long for. And that is the reason why they will be drawn to this divine hamlet again and again. And I am saying this because I have spoken to so many of them from diverse backgrounds and cultures. We have done a good number of interviews in the last few days. We will slowly be editing and sharing them, all this, on our website and on our radio. Prashanti is pulsating with pure love. When you listen to these conversations, you will know what I'm talking about. Prashanti is pulsating with his love, and Christmas was such a great revelation of his divine magnificence and munificence. That was Christmas in Prashanti Nilayam 2012. But dear listeners, today I want to share with you something else which is so connected with December 25th, but hardly anyone spares a thought about this fact. It is about someone whose story on this earth started more than a century ago, exactly on this day when half the world was praying, hailing the Son of God. It's about one of God's most precious, proficient and powerful instruments. It is the tale of one whom God held in his hand to pen the uplifting account of his advent and his mission. Of one whose inner self was so pure and clear that the sweet Lord held him onto his lips like a flute, and out came a surreal symphony of his miracles and manifestations in most captivating notes and narrations. Of one in whose company the Lord was regaled with his repartees and ripticlers. Of one who had become an indispensable part of his entourage, whether Baba went to Ernakulam or East Africa. Of one who was a perfect conduit between the Lord and his message, rendering with ease and fineness the language of the avatar into not only the Anglo-Saxon tongue, not only into English, but also into many Indian lingos. Of one whose speech was so soft, soothing and comforting that the captivated listeners imagined him to be the Pied Piper of Hamelin. Of one whose nature was so gentle, an attitude so refined that one could never observe scornfulness or a tinge of sadness, come what may, in his countenance. Of one who started his day by placing at Baba's lotus feet the sacred tulsi and bilwa leaves for not one or 2 weeks, months or years, but for more than 3 decades. And this special devotee, at the same time, was the first postmaster of Prashantinilayam, who at one time even was the accommodation in charge, looking after the well-being of devotees and acting as their guide, counselor and comforter, who also saw to it that the canteen in the ashram fed all pilgrims without any problems, who was a typewriter, typesetter, binder, writer, editor, all rolled into one of the ashram monthly magazines, Sanatan Sarathi, who religiously made the announcements during every major festival in Puttaparthi in 6 Indian languages, who always travelled in public buses and not in a private car, even though he was the state president of the Sai organization of his state, who knew no stranger and had always a warm hello oozing from his being on whosoever his eyes fell, and who knew no worship other than serving his master through sharing the tales of his grandeur, greatness and glory. Yes, that is the matchless Professor N. Kasturi, the Lord's ambassador, emissary, effective instrument, efficient translator, brilliant biographer, charismatic orator, fascinating playwright, gifted writer, master storyteller, an incomparable comrade, and most importantly, a beloved devotee of the Lord like no other. He was born on Christmas Day, more than 114 years ago. That is the connection between Christmas and Professor Kasturi. So what facet of Kasturi's personality endeared him to the Lord? Was it his literary and oratory skills, or his special sense of spontaneous humor, or the respect he commanded as a great intellectual and luminary in Kannada literature, or his credentials as a capable educator and administrator, having turned around a notable and formerly notorious college during his tenure as principal? Or was it his association with the Ramakrishna Mission, having served as a secretary in this mission for many years? What was indeed so unique about him that every devotee looked up to him with awe, admiration and love? And Swami held him so close to it, to his heart, virtually carrying him in his arms every moment of his life till his last breath. What is this personality of Professor Kasturi? Well, this is what we will be discussing today. And before we proceed, dear listeners, let's do first things first. Let us first offer our most reverential and prayerful salutations at Bhagwan's lotus feet. Dear Lord, please bless us and chisel us so that we too become a tiny instrument in your divine hands, so that we too find fulfillment in our lives, immersing ourselves in your story and your glory. With this humble prayer, let's move on. And dear listeners, you are welcome to this yet another episode of Outside, Inside and Deep Inside, our series on Thursday nights. You are listening to the Asia Stream on Radio Sai, and I am Team Radio Sai's Bishu, happily at your service. And today we discuss the phantasmagoric fragrance forever, Baba's Kasturi, part 1, the first part.
Well, it is a very difficult assignment that has been given to me, to speak on Sai Baba, because he is a phenomenon that has so many facets, and that is yet a mystery, though I have been with him for over 30 years now. The longer you are with him, the more mysterious he becomes. And he himself has acknowledged, has said, has declared that it is very difficult to understand him. Not just recently, when people tried to investigate him, but even from his boyhood.
So that was the voice of this legendary devotee, recorded in 1987. In fact, Professor Kasturi is one of those rare souls to whom, in a letter before his final emergence with Baba, Swami addressed him as Bhakta or devotee. And in that letter, Baba said, "Know this, O devotee, the resident of Puttaparthi, the compassionate one, will guard you always, ever hold your hand to save you. Ever, everywhere, forget it not." This was the association, this was the assurance of Baba to Kasturi. And the relationship that this devotee had cultivated with the Lord is simply out of the ordinary. And how beautifully Swami responded to this pure heart is something that every devotee should read and ruminate upon. Professor Anil Kumar says, "No one was as close to Swami as Professor Kasturi. His level of communication with Bhagwan was absolutely different."
No one is as close to Swami as Kasturi. His level of communication is different. We may say, "No sir, so and so is with Swami. So and so meets Swami. So-and-so sits with Swami. So-and-so spends time with Swami." That is all different. Kasturi spending time with Swami is along the spiritual, literary, philosophical plane. His level of communication is celestial, while our level of communication is terrestrial. He is the only man who can communicate with Swami at that religious, philosophical, Vedantic, Himalayan plains of heights. I don't think that anybody could do that. Not even Kamadhani. It only means, as Baba said, "Nenu yemi chesina, yedi chesina, yedi cheppina, yedi cheyinchina, atma tattvamu korake," Baba said it. Because Kasturi has got all the knowledge in spirituality, he deserves that attention. Well, we have got other sorts of relationships, maybe limited to our responsibilities here, or confined to our family obligations, or for the fulfillment of personal desires, physical ailments or whatever may be. But Kasturi's level is always spiritual and religious. That's why Swami talks to him. And another point, whether the gold is genuine or not, what does the goldsmith do? He will keep the gold against the touchstone, rub it and find out whether the gold is genuine or not. Believe me, Swami asks Kasturi how his speech is. "Yemi, ee poddu Swami speech bagundada? Yemi, neeku nachinda? Yemi Kasturi bagundada? How is my speech?" He doesn't ask everybody. It only means Swami finds in him an intellectual. Swami finds in him all the wisdom. Swami finds in him the scholarship. Who can appreciate his talk? People may say, "Wonderful, wonderful, how wonderful it is," nobody can say. What did he say? Nobody can repeat. But here is a man who will pick up the points which has fascinated him, that left imprinted impressions along the sands of time. That's something very great. And then Kasturi is the only man who can joke with him. People are scared of Baba. People are afraid of Bhagawan. People shiver in front of him. But not Kasturi. He can joke with him. Of course, not every day. It all depends. Nobody dares to cut a joke. It is only Kasturi. Simple example. Kasturi used to have vibhuti on his forehead. Smear on his forehead. Swami said, "Yemi, bandage madri eskundave," and Kasturi smiled and said, "It's not bandage, Swami. It removes me from bondage of birth and life," he said. Who can say that? Swami laughed and laughed.
So that was Professor Anil Kumar reminiscing the divine bonding between Baba and Professor Kasturi. Mr. B. N. Narasimhamurthy, former warden of the Vrindavan campus of Bhagwan's University, he too was fortunate to spend many summers and winters witnessing this one of its kind devotee-deity relationship. And when we asked him to go down the memory lane, he recalled for us one beautiful anecdote.
And then one more incident I remember, he had a very unique relation with some, very, very unique relation. And that kind of relation very few people had. And if I can recollect, in my memory, that kind of relation was there with, not that kind, actually it was very unique, but something comparable was Swami's relation with Vikramasimhan and Swami's relation with Colonel Jogara was somewhat similar, but this was quite unique, totally unique. One day it happened in 1982, Swami had gone out to Vijayagiri to oversee some construction work. And Kasturiji also had gone with him in the car. Three of us were sitting in the portico. And Swami came and he called us inside the interview room. And then Kasturi took some little time to come. By the time Kasturi approached the interview room door, we were, three of us were inside, and Swami was about to close the door. Swami was holding the handle to close the door. He just walked in. Then Swami told him, "See Kasturi, there are only Murthys inside. See Satyamurthy, Krishnamurthy, Narasimhamurthy." And he pointed to himself and said, "I am also Murthy. There is no place for Kasturi inside." Then, you know, in Telugu, what Kasturiji said, "Swami, nenu vaste anta purti aipothundi Swami," he said. "If I come inside, everything will be purti, means completed." Swami had a hearty laugh and then called him inside.
So that was Mr. B. N. Narasimhamurthy narrating that beautiful incident, how Kasturi found his way into Bhagwan's heart through his pure love. Kasturi saying, "Swami, if I come into the assembly of these murtis, it will become purti, complete." He just won Swami over and had that another chance, one more chance of personal interaction, of another interview with Bhagwan. He always knew how to find a place in Baba's heart. As Professor Anil Kumar says, he was the only one who could joke with Swami. Many would be scared and tight-lipped in front of Bhagwan. They dare not cut a joke, but not Professor Kasturi. And Swami would enjoy his innovative and entertaining responses and repartees. In fact, such was the close chemistry between Baba and Kasturi that when he used to go to see him in the afternoons every day, Professor Kasturi used to see Baba in the afternoons every day, and Swami used to say, as soon as he saw Professor Kasturi, "See, my newspaper is coming. He is going to give me news now." And the childlike Kasturi would innocently narrate all the quote-unquote hot news of the world he had heard with his tiny transistor glued to his ear at 1:30 every afternoon. In those days, he had the tiny transistor. This was in the 60s. And every afternoon, he was the one who had this divine interaction with Bhagwan, narrating to him stories of the world, to the one who is the master of all the worlds. His role in the divine drama was really, really a prized one. And as Mr. B.N. Narasimhamurthy says, it is this beautiful synthesis of childlike innocence and sage-like wisdom that endeared Professor Kasturi to the Lord, as the Bible quotes. It is this which exalted him in the kingdom of God. On one occasion when Professor Kasturi was with Baba motoring from Mumbai to Bangalore, while in the car, Swami took out one by one luscious apples from a bag kept near him. So Baba carefully sliced each of these apples and started distributing to all inside the car. It was actually the conclusion of a small prayer session inside the car, wherein Swami had asked all the members to sing bhajans and devotional songs. So everybody was very happy singing bhajans with Swami, and once the prayer session was over, they accepted heartily the apple pieces as prasadam from the Lord, and they all were enjoying assimilating the juicy fruit with joy, but not Professor Kasturi. He sat there holding the piece in his closed palm, scared that chewing the skin of this apple and swallowing the fruit would be an ordeal, as he says, beyond the ability of his artificial teeth. He writes in his biography, "I dared not spit the stuff through the window for fear the denture might follow the skin." He had dentures and he was so afraid to chew the skin of the apple and throw it out of the window. But the loving Lord glanced at Professor Kasturi for a moment, and the all-knowing one, he recognized Professor Kasturi's embarrassment, though Professor Kasturi never stated anything explicitly. And what Baba did is this. The next piece that Baba gave to Professor Kasturi had the skin neatly and nicely removed by Baba himself. That was Baba's concern for Professor Kasturi. He always knew what he wanted, as little a thing as how to give him a piece of apple. Mrs. Padma Kasturi, the daughter of Professor Kasturi, says, "Whenever somebody brought sweets to Baba, Swami would keep a few for my father, saying, 'Hey, this is for Kasturi, let him enjoy it.'" That is how Professor Kasturi was always in Baba's mind. The intimacy that existed between them really had to be seen to be believed. It was a relationship that was legendary in so many ways. Let us now listen again to this voice, this legend who translated Bhagavan's discourses for so many years. And in this clip, Professor Kasturi narrates a slice of his beautiful life with Bhagavan.
You know, Baba says in one place, whenever he speaks, you must have seen that he quotes or sings one poem, an introductory poem. It starts with a song. And once he started with a song about himself. And the thing was, Vishwamellada Vyapiyai Velayuvadu. That's about himself. He who is present all over the world. Not exactly world. You may say the all over the cosmos. Because once it happened, Baba went to East Africa and came back, and there was a big meeting to welcome him home, as if he had gone somewhere across the seas and went to East Africa. It was considered a great achievement by his devotees. People ask me very often, has Baba gone to foreign countries? Because it is then that we value a person more. And when I say yes, he has been to Africa, they feel rather ashamed. Because going to Africa of all places, must go to America and come back. They are honored there. Africa! But Baba goes only, he first goes to countries that are just coming out of their colonial rule and are trying to find their feet and are being oppressed and miserable and poor and all that. Anyway, after that visit to Africa, that meeting, I was translating at that time, and Baba spoke in Telugu and I was translating in English. The platform was about 30 feet wide. He was at one end, I was on the other. And then he started saying, "What is all this function that you have arranged? I have been only to one of the rooms of my mansion. When the master of the house comes from the drawing room to the dining room, you don't make a big fuss and say, oh, he has come from one room to the other, and we have a meeting and garland him and then praise him that he has come. All this is nonsense he was saying. And then he used the word, prapanchame na illu. And I translated it, because it's difficult to get the proper word at the so soon. So I said, the world is my mansion. And I was rather proud that I had got at the word mansion for illu. Rather bucked up with myself and thought that everybody will appreciate that word. I didn't say house or home or some of those commonplace things. Mansion. So I patted myself on the back for having selected that word mansion. But then Baba turned to me and said, no, it's difficult to translate Baba, because he not only speaks in Telugu, but he watches the English and tries to find out whether all the ideas have come. You must have seen Bhagavantam being corrected a number of times. And so he turned to me and said, no. And that gave me a shiver. No. Not the world, he said, shaking his finger at me. And then he proceeded towards me. I thought that that was the end of it. that he was going to ask me to clear out, and that I am no good. And so when he was proceeding towards me, I also proceeded towards him. Because if he was going to give me a slap or something, it is better to receive it halfway than accompany him, than make him walk the whole distance. So I came right in the center. And in the center, luckily, there was no mic there. So that it was only I that heard what he said. Otherwise, you see, the whole audience would have heard it. But it was worth hearing. He said, no, no, not the world, but the universe. And, of course, I stood aghast. Imagine a person coming and standing before you, 5 foot figure. I was taller than he, older, more educated, you can say, translating his speeches, standing right in front of me and saying, the universe is my mansion. Something very thrilling, that you could have a person of that human form and size declaring, no, not the world, the universe, correcting me like that. So I simply fell at his feet, and 50,000 people watched it. What is this man doing? And then he pulled me up by the shoulder and pushed me towards the mic. Carry on your work. Now that is Baba.
In his autobiography, Loving God, Professor Kasturi writes, mine is, let me confide in you, a love story. It truly is a love story that every Sai devotee can only dream of. The greatest of the romances that have reverberated in the consciousness of mankind, inspiring, instructing and illumining mind for eons together, are those of the devotee and the divine. And the ones the Supreme Self chooses for these great dramas on earth are blessed beings whose fortune is unimaginable in the present age. This pure-hearted professor was one such privileged one, hand-picked by the divine. And the games that the primordial one played with this pristine soul were plenty and profound. Professor Kasturi, recounting one such remarkable experience, writes, I quote, we were at Chebrol that evening, referring to a town in the Guntur district of Andhra Pradesh where Baba had been many years ago. During dinner, Baba suddenly announced that we were to leave for Chennai. His face was flushed and he was in evident hurry. I surmised that he had assuaged the rigor of someone's fever and had decided to assume a dire disease which had come upon him. And he preferred the home of a devotee at Chennai because they are more familiar with the role plays or the trances that Baba enacts as part of his avataric mission. Baba was in the back seat. I happened to be the only other occupant of the car apart from the man at the wheel, and I found myself on the back seat. A few miles later, Baba showed an inclination to stretch rather uncomfortably on the space available. So I called on the chauffeur to help so that I could scramble into the vacuum on his left. Professor Kasturi wanted to go and sit in the front because Baba wanted to stretch. But Baba said no. Professor Kasturi says, I realized then that we had no pillow, and my old affirmative answer to afford a prop, a pillow, stood valid. What it means is Baba allowed Professor Kasturi to become, to rest his lap, was where Baba placed his head, and that was Professor Kasturi's most exhilarating and ecstatic moment. The mother of all creation was now a cosmic child, comfortable and calm in the lap of his dearest devotee. Professor Kasturi writes about this: I sat stroking the hair and soothing the brow of Baba until dawn broke on the outskirts of Chennai. For 8 hours through the night, this dear devotee, quote unquote, mothered his beloved master, and the next morning Swami sent Professor Kasturi back to Prashantinilayam, asking him to travel by first class in the train and convey his message in the lieu of his absence to the devotees who had assembled in Puttaparthi for the festival of Vaikuntha Ekadasi. In those days, Vaikuntha Ekadasi was a major festival when Baba would materialize Amrit or nectar and distribute to all the devotees. So no one knows why the Lord enacted such a drama. Why did Professor Kasturi travel all the night to be only sent back the next morning? What could be the concealed cosmic design in this play? Was it a harbinger of a higher role that the Lord wanted to assign this gem of a devotee? Is it true that Professor Kasturi would actually mother the future incarnation of the present avatar? Baba did say on one occasion that Professor Kasturi would be the mother of Prema Sai. But no one knows. All these dilemmas will remain as enigmas until the Divine decides to decode them someday. We do not know now and will probably never know until He decides to reveal to us. But what we do know is that just as Swami was Professor Kasturi's life breath, Kasturi too was Swami's beloved and the chosen one upon whom the Lord doted not for decades but perhaps for centuries and lifetimes. And how Baba prepared him and due Professor Kasturi to him is really spellbinding. We will talk about this more as we go along in this program. But now let me play for you an excerpt of a conversation with Mrs. Padma Kasturi, Professor Kasturi's daughter, wherein she narrates their family's early days with Baba. And in conversation with her is Dr. Rajeshwari Patel of the Anandpur campus of Baba's University.
Welcome, Srimati Padmama, to Radio Sai Global Harmony.
Thank you, Dr. Rajeshwari.
Let us begin first by talking about your father. When did your father come to Bhagwan? And how old were you then?
We saw some Bhagwan in 1948 in Bangalore. I was just 14 years then.
Tell us a little about your father's early life before he came to Bhagwan.
He was born in Kerala. He was in Tripunathara in Ernakulam district.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a very poor family. He lost his father when he was just 4 years old. And then his education was very poor. And his grandfather wanted him to study Vedic and all that because he couldn't afford him any English education.
Mm-hmm.
But my grandmother, she insisted that he should study English. he should go through the English education. Mm. So with the help of her brother, he studied up to the in the high school.
Mm.
And there he got a scholarship and all that, so that he could graduate, I think, BA, and then he got a job in Travancore. And he was married when he was just 14 years old.
But his English is so excellent.
Yeah.
I mean, the language of Satyam Shiv Sundaram and Satyasai speaks, I mean, it's marvelous.
Then he came down to Mysore for a job when he was just 21 years old. He was got a job in a high school as a teacher. Then he was taken to the university. Then he continued there, and after his retirement, he has come down to Swami, and he settled here only. For what years he was staying.
So, in which year did he come to Bhagwan?
We met Swami in Bangalore in
1948.
At that time, in 1947, I lost one, my brother. He had a typhoid attack of typhoid.
One of your brothers.
Brothers. My father was very much attached to the Ramakrishna Ashram and all that, because when he was in the high school, one of his teacher, he was very much impressed by Vivekananda, and he used to talk about Vivekananda and all that. So my father was very much attached to Ramakrishna.
Who did not get influenced by Swami Vivekananda in their younger days?
And my father served as secretary for the Mysore Ramakrishna Ashrama for 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
Then after he lost his son, he was very much depressed. He didn't know. My mother was a very ardent devotee of Tirupati and all that. So they lost all hope and everything. But after 3 months of my brother's death, one of his own friends, he was a devotee of Puttaparthi Sai Baba. He had come here for Dasara, and he came down to Bangalore and gave some prasadam and said, there is one Sai Baba in Puttaparthi.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you go and see there? Because you will get some solace and peace.
Yes,
and
peace, yes.
But my mother didn't like it. She said, no, Sai Baba is going to be, because the Tirupati, Venkatramana, nobody helped me. How can any Sai Baba help me like that? She rejected. But after that, somehow my husband, Balachandran, he was then a student. He was studying for IAS. He used to come for tuition in Indian history with my father. He has a distant relative. He used to come there.
Mm-hmm.
And they were already devotees of Sai Baba. So whenever he came, he used to tell about Swami and all that. So my father was a little inquisitive about, when this young man is saying something about Sai Baba, let's go and see. So we went to, Swami had come to Bangalore, and we visited him there. And the first visit itself, Swami gave an interview to my father and told him about all his...
The very first visit?
Very first visit.
You all were called?
My mother and me and my father had gone, but we didn't know that we also should follow him for the interview. He called my father, and father only went.
Uh-huh.
And it seems he said about all the death of my brother, and then his working in this college, and then he asked him to, said he came, you come and settle in Puttaparthi after your retirement. Uh-huh. First interview itself, he said.
So what was his impression about that, I mean, after that first interview? Did he come and tell you anything about how he felt? Because this was a command. Come,
he said
after
there is
retirement.
Some power, and he didn't be that divinity, he didn't. But he said there is something in this young, because that time Swami was only 20 years old.
Yes.
22.
22, yes, to be
so
precise.
He said there is something wonderful in this young man like that only, he said.
Mm. Then after, did he get that solace which he...
No, not in the first interview.
Not in the first interview.
Only... It all happened only after my marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Because when this Balachandran was coming to my house for this Indian history tuition, so my father and mother, they had some impression that this boy, if we give our daughter in marriage to this boy, it would be nice, because he was very mild, and so that was there. So they went and asked their parents, his parents, but they were not willing. So through them only, they made another alliance. And it was almost certain that they would be coming, and there is that formality, you know.
The procedure.
Procedure.
Yes.
So one Thursday, my father went to their house, because all this was arranged through the Balachandran family only.
Yes.
To ask them to bring the other family
to
my house to see the girl and all that. But by that time, Swami was in Bangalore, and it seemed that Thursday morning, Swami came to dream in my father-in-law and told him, immediately come and see me. I have arranged your son's marriage.
Oh. So before this meeting could be arranged with that other boy, Swami has
already changed. Yeah. So my father-in-law, he was working in the HAL. He took leave and went to Swami. And Swami said, "See, I have arranged your son's marriage. They have been asking you for the past 6 years, but you are rejecting it. That's a very good girl. You must get married with that family. And he is a professor. And their house is near Wilson Garden." He gave all the details. "And this is my ajna," he said.
Okay, so his command.
Command. So when my father went to their house, they said, no, Swami has already arranged that we should get married, your daughter. So my father was very happy, and he came home. And the next day we all went, both the families went to, Swami was staying in Nagmani Puranaya's house. We all went there, and Swami called both my father and my father-in-law and said, "This is a very good alliance, and you have got to get married, these two people. And the marriage will be celebrated in Puttaparthi only," he said.
Mm-hmm.
It was in June. So he said, "You fix up some date and then you come and see Puttaparthi." Till that time my
you
father...
You haven't been to Puttaparthi?
No, even my father had not come to. So he asked my father to come once and visit Puttaparthi and see the place. So after that only...
And then after your marriage, he retired, is it?
Yes, he retired only in 54.
So after 54, I mean, my marriage practically he came, he's been in Puttaparthi.
So he came to Puttaparthi, my father and mother, and they saw the whole place.
In the intermediary period before that, I mean before his retirement and all that, did he have many meetings with Swami?
No, nothing.
Even when Swami came to Bangalore, you just probably went
he
for darshan?
He just went for darshan only, not an interview or anything like that.
Okay.
Only after this marriage. Marriage was celebrated here only.
And then it of course coincided somewhat with his retirement too.
Yeah.
So he came in 1955 or 54 to Swami.
And then again he was appointed in the All India Radio. He was as an assistant producer.
Mm.
So he went back to Bangalore again and he came back in 56 because the Sanatana Sarathi started.
And if he passed away in 1987, then it's practically 30 years at the Divine
Swami.
Lotus Feet.
Yeah.
So that was Mrs. Padma Kasturi narrating how the family of Professor Kasturi came to Bhagwan. Of course, this story has so many more details which are so beautiful, and we will definitely talk about it as we go along in this program. Maybe not today, not on this part, but in the future episodes of this chapter of Outside, Inside and Deep Inside. Dear listeners, you are listening to the Asia Stream and I am Radio Sai's Bishu, and we are talking about the life of Professor Kasturi, the phantasmagoric fragrance forever, Baba's Kasturi. In Loving God, Professor Kasturi himself reveals, "Bhagwan's love has sustained me, not only since 1948 when I stood in his presence, but since my birth in 1897, when he watched over me in the cradle. In fact, Bhagwan once told me that he knew me even before the latest birth, this time in Kerala." Is it not the Almighty's alacrity that Kasturi Ranganath Sharma, which was his original full name, which was later trimmed by his parents to just Kasturi, is it not really divine design that he was born on Christmas Day? By this, the Lord perhaps ensured that as everybody remembers and reveres his darling son on the Christmas Day, they do not forget his dear devotee too. And little Kasturi arrived on earth braced with conspicuous signs of grace and good luck. The yet-to-be-named newborn had 6 fingers on each palm and equal number of toes on each foot. Though out of ignorance and impatience, his granny surreptitiously scissored off these visible signs of providence. She did not know what to do with his extra limbs, and so she just cut this off. But these were lucky signs, and the blessings that destiny had bestowed on Professor Kasturi befriended and buttressed him, whether he realized it at that point of time or not. At every crucial juncture of his life, the Lord was there working behind the scenes. When he was 11 days old and carried by his mother to the shrine of Lord Parthasarathi, the local temple dedicated to Lord Krishna, And as she placed on a stone slab, there was this big lamp hanging in front of the idol, and the flames on the lamp placed on either side of the idol flickered for a moment as the baby was placed in front of the idol. And Professor Kasturi's mother in her heart really saw the smile that the Lord subtly conveyed, and she returned home with a heart full of contentment. For most of his formative years, this Lord Parthasarathi, was Kasturi's pillar of support, his private friend, his much prayed God. Be it pencils or peppermints, attires or assignments, Kasturi emptied his heart out every day to this Lord Parthasarathi with his prayers, with his pleadings, with his petitions. Half a century later, when Professor Kasturi saw his Parthasarathi in flesh and blood in Puttaparthi, he realized he had secured the one he steadfastly had besieged for years, and the rewards he received for all his pure-hearted prayers of his childhood was simply overpowering. The Lord adorned him with the editorship of Sanatana Sarathi. The Parthasarathi gave him Sanatana Sarathi to look after, the ashram's mouthpiece, the conduit that carried his message to all continents. And when little Kasturi was few months old and his parents took him to the Shiva temple at Vaikom to fulfill the vow of offering their first child to the deity as the Lord's bond slave, they just wanted to offer as the Lord's servant, they placed this infant on a banana leaf in front of the open door of the shrine, and then they began to circumambulate the sanctum sanctorum, and they were going around the temple, and suddenly they were stopped by the priest, who said, "Hey couple, I have a message from Shiva himself." Shiva had told the priest, "I have a child on my hands." This is what Shiva said, "I have a child on my hands. Give it to those parents and tell them, take it and foster it for me with care and devotion." The couple offered the child to the Lord, and the Lord acknowledged that and returned the child as his gift to them. The overjoyed parents prostrated full length at the feet of Lord Shiva, thanking him profusely for his acceptance and his munificence. So that was how little Kasturi was such a gifted soul and was brought under divine care right from the time he took his first breath. When out of sheer lack of financial sustenance, the grandfather of Kasturi wanted to deprive this fatherless boy, because he lost his father when he was very young, when he was a little boy, and grandfather did not have the money to send him for professional education, the Lord, in the form of his mother, stood courageously by him and ensured that he mastered the mysteries of language and literature. Though his mother's family had no means to even provide him his minimum calorie requirement to keep his flesh and bone together, let alone make him smart and sturdy, the Lord saw to it that wherever he studied, be it in Tripunathara where he did his schooling, or in Ernakulam where he attended his pre-university, or even in the college at Trivandrum from where he emerged with an honors degree in history, everywhere the Lord ensured that he was somewhere in the vicinity of free eating houses. And these eating houses gave Professor Kasturi 2 square meals every day. Again, it was the hidden hand which tied his destiny with another diamond of a personality, his wife. He married very early, as was the custom in those days. And it was this beautiful person who not only nourished his body with the financial largesse she got from her father during marriage, but also was a perfect partner who always propped up his spirits and energized his soul wherever and whenever Professor Kasturi felt defeated in life. After his degree at the age of 21, when Kasturi sir was desperately devouring newspaper columns to catch a vacancy that could put a full stop to the financial and fiscal conundrum of his life, it was the merciful Lord again who made him stumble on an advertisement for the post of a lecturer in a high school in the city of Mysore. And it is in Mysore, the land of gold mines and sandalwood, that the world first got a glimpse of the literary gold, the genius that Professor Kasturi was, and the fragrance of his articles, his classics, his charming anecdotes, his tantalizing essays and tutoring tactics and antics, his humorous plays and humanitarian programs went out to the world. Again, when he longed to liberate himself from this high school job after a few years, because he was vexed with the variegated inclinations for the founder of the school, the principles of the founder of the school and his principles did not match, and he was disappointed because all the students were compelled by the founder to engage themselves in all sorts of activities which had nothing to do with sound learning. And it was again at this point that the ever watchful benevolent Lord made Kasturi's old comrade and classmate turned into a monk appear at his door one fine morning. But for this miracle meeting with Gopala Marar, who had now become Swami Siddheshwarananda of the Ramakrishna Mission, Kasturi would probably have would never have become Professor Kasturi, because at that point in time he was seriously contemplating on a career in law, thinking that probably that new profession would help to solve his financial situation. And in the next few years, the divine director saw to it that the latent spiritual potential of this spirited young man in his 20s blossomed and found expression in the excellent acts of elaboration on the sacred teachings of Sri Ramakrishna Paramahansa. As secretary of the Ramakrishna Mission of Mysore chapter, Professor Kasturi not only lectured eloquently and extensively in Kannada and English on the philosophy and practice of his Gurudev, Sri Ramakrishna Paramahansa at that time, but also led the way in undertaking many projects of social upliftment. And this is a task he really liked the most. And around this time, in 1928, the munificent Lord, in his inimitable way, placed him in the Maharaja's College of Arts, which was affiliated then to the Mysore University. And this was now the perfect fertile ground for his literary talent to flourish. This position where he served in the Maharaja's College of Arts allowed Professor Kasturi to take on many fascinating roles as a proficient playwright who directed many an entertaining and educating drama to break social stigmas and stimulate unity in villages and towns. He was here also as a capable composer who shared the lives and messages of saints, epic heroes and avatars through his highly popular Harikathas, this traditional folk art form. Also as a prolific writer who penned a battery of novels in Kannada, most of them laced with significant or subtle humor, exposing the muddled and mediocre adventures of the ordinary mind. While here, he was the chief contributor of puns and parodies, quips and quixotic essays to the Kannada Humor Monthly, Koravanji, as well as the Shankar's Weekly, in which it appeared under the title Mere Prattle for 7 long years. Again, during this time, when he was at the Maharaja's College of Arts in Mysore, he was also the assistant director of the All India Radio, wherein he not only coined the name Akashvani for the broadcasting station, which remains till this day, he ensured that radio raised to historic heights by consistent creativity, and he weaved numerous and novel programs which appeased and aggravated the listener's appetite constantly. By the time India achieved independence in 1947, Baba had already transferred Kasturi to Bangalore, where Venkatadri, his younger son, had joined the engineering college, while Murthy, his elder one, was in Kaslo in Sweden pursuing his PhD in geology. And it is in this city, after the country was reborn, that the golden chapter in Kasturi's life, for which God was waiting, also began. Let me now play for you another extract of a conversation with Professor Kasturi's daughter, Padma Kasturi. And here she narrates one facet of the golden chapter that began after Professor Kasturi came to Baba. There are so many very, very revealing anecdotes and instances from this great devotee's life. And this one, which happened in the early years of his association with Baba, is something very, very revealing and interesting.
What were your reactions to some of the experiences that your father had with Swami? Did he come home and tell you about them? I have heard of an incident in which Professor Kasturi was asked by Bhagwan to get dressed, you know, properly dressed for a photograph that Bhagwan was to take himself, apparently for a newspaper article. As it turned out, it was a trick that Swami had played on him. You were talking just a while back about the intimacy between the two of them. Anyway, it was a trick that Swami had played on him because the camera was just a toy one. And Bhagwan had a hearty laugh at the discomfiture of Professor Kasturi. Were you present then, and did he come home and talk about it?
No, I'm sorry, I wasn't present here. I was in Bangalore.
But any other incident?
Yes, I can tell you another incident. Formerly, Swami used to go on trance and give darshan for some distant places. After he came out of the trance, he used to narrate what all happened there, like that. But father was not very much satisfied. He was not very sure whether this was the whatever Swami said after he
coming out of the trance,
whether it did
it
happen,
authentic or not. Yeah.
But once it seems father was there in Swami's room and Swami suddenly fell and went in trance. And then vibhuti came out of his mouth and hand and everything. And after he came out of the trance, he said, I had been to Dehradun. One Dr. Krishna was coming then here in Puttaparthi. He said his mother just now passed away. She was asking for my darshan and last moment I went and gave her darshan. Then it seems he started telling about who were all there. Then father was interested. He said, let me take down Swami. Then he said, no, yes, he can take down. He gave him a slip of paper. And father started taking down as Swami was saying who were all there and what all happened. So then afterwards Swami said, after 3 or 4 days a letter will come and you can bring your list and then tally it. Then after 4 days the letter came. And Swami asked, he didn't open the cover. He has sent word for my father and asked him to bring that
he
list.
He knew all along,
yes,
but you know, professor was
then,
not
yeah.
very convinced.
Then father went up and then he
asked him to tallied
both the letter and he asked him to read the letter and it was exactly the same.
Exactly tallied with what Swami had told him. Okay.
So father was very much excited and he came running home from the mandir. Anandam, Anandam, he was shouting. I was there and I didn't know what has happened to him. He said, oh, we have got Bhagwan, we have got, how fortunate we are having Bhagwan, Bhagwan, like that he came home. And he didn't take any food, he was so excited.
He was himself in a state of bliss.
Yes.
So that was one anecdote from this beautiful life of Professor Kasturi. And if one were to read Loving God, the biography, the autobiography of Professor Kasturi, one would find any number of such instances. In fact, in those initial years of his acquaintance with the avatar, the ever inquisitive and enterprising Kasturi was mesmerized by his miracles and manifestation. You know, he even tried to instigate Swami into performing these divine acts in his own tactful way because he wanted to witness all this. So one day when he heard that Swami had for some reason become very cold to the evening Chitravati sessions, in those days Swami used to go in the evenings to Chitravati, and invariably these sessions in Chitravati were creation hours because the Lord would produce anything, idols, lockets, sweets, etc. from the sands, and everyone was eager to join the sessions to watch the Lord do all these fantastic manifestations. So one day when they saw that Swami was not in so great a mood to go to the Chitravati, he went near him and he pleaded, Swami, today is a full moon day. We shall have the gathering on the sands at Chitravati. And Swami, who was listening to him and walking up and down the veranda, he just stopped, looked at him and said, do you think I can transform only Chitravati sands? Is there no sand around the mandir under construction? So Professor Kasturi was stumped. but not out. He was still strong. He persisted. Swami, okay, we shall go to that site, that construction site, and let us sit on around one heap and we will do bhajan there and you can have your session there. Swami again stopped, looked at Professor Kasturi in his eye, and then he told him, I know it is not bhajan that you are interested. You desire that I entertain you with miracles, and you think I must have sand to do those miracles. And as Swami said this, Swami actually laughed at the space from which Professor Kasturi was coming from. And now Professor Kasturi did not know how to respond. The cat was out of the bag and he just kept silent. And someone in that gathering who was listening to all this, the devotees who wanted Swami to go to Chitravati, one of them said, very well Swami, we know you can create things out of air anywhere, so it's fine, let us gather in Mandir itself. Who knows, if you want, a miracle will happen in Mandir itself if you are gracious, so it's fine, we will do bhajan here. At this point, Swami, who was till then pacing up and down the veranda in a relaxed manner, he just stopped and stared at these devotees who were pleading for a miracle, miracle. And Swami said, miracle, miracle, that is all you clamor, but you have no knowledge of one miracle. You have no knowledge of one miracle. You, every one of you, your very existence is my miracle. Recalling that lightning divine discourse, Professor Kasturi writes, through that simple looking statement, Baba revealed that he was far more phenomenal than anyone we had learnt about in human history. Baba was far more phenomenal than anyone we had heard about in human history. And it is this phenomenal person's life story Kasturi was blessed to write. Yes, he did enjoy divine proximity in plenty, but that did not mean that his life was a bed of roses. He actually had troubles that could depress any person. His wife was paralyzed for 11 long years, and this is just one. His daughter's marital life was extremely sad. He lost his son. The list goes on and on. Trials, severe trials that this devotee of the Lord was going through was something that would be really difficult for anyone in that position to stomach. But Professor Kasturi was someone, the fragrance of his personality was such that the smile from his face never ever faded. Whether rock or sand, whether gorges or grass, he never grumbled in the least. And just like the river, always steadfast towards its goal with willpower and vigor, Kasturi was unassailable. He was like the rock of Gibraltar. His faith in Swami was unassailable. In the Christmas discourse in 2008, Swami said, everyone must have master faith. Not just faith, master faith. Everything else is useless. You can achieve anything when you have this master faith. So Swami said, develop faith. Without faith, there is no life. No faith, no life. Dear listeners, there is so much more to Professor Kasturi's life. In fact, that whole instance of how Swami drew him and really captured his being, which was referred to by his daughter Padma Kasturi, is such a beautiful one, and that is only a starting point. We will talk about that episode in greater detail in the future episodes of this program, and so many more instances from his life which are so pregnant with profound lessons for each one of us who is a devotee, each one of us who is on this spiritual path, each one of us who is on this path from I to we to he. Because his story is a story which is the story of every devotee, the journey of every soul to its goal. But for now, as the new year dawns, and when we are busy contemplating how we can redirect ourselves to make the most out of our lives, when we are contemplating on how to make a new beginning as this December comes to a close and January opens for us, let us not forget to incorporate this essential element in our life, in our thoughts, in our actions, this vital element of faith. Because without this, all else might be like walls without a firm foundation. Let unflinching faith at his lotus feet be our resolution in 2013, because the power of his love is absolutely great. Dear listeners, I would like to leave you with this thought, with this feeling for you to ponder upon. It's time now to wind up this episode of Outside, Inside and Deep Inside. I really wanted to share with you about the life of Kasturi, at least some parts of it, because his is such a blessed life and he was born on Christmas Day. Let us not forget this dear devotee of the Lord and learn the lessons of life that Swami has communicated through him to all of us. I hope you enjoyed this session. I am Vishu. And the time in the studios now is 9:40. Please do tell us what you felt about this program. You can always write to listener@radiosai.org, listener@radiosai.org. We really welcome and look forward to your feedback, suggestions and comments, because they help us to become better. We know we do have a long way to go, and with your encouragement and your comments, we hone our skills and we pray harder so that we become instruments in his hand to convey his love, to share his love, and to pass on and disseminate his message. As I sign off now, you will continue to listen to a drama by the students of Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. This was presented on the 26th convocation in 2007. The drama was entitled Hridaya Vani, The Voice from the Heart. A very beautiful drama. In fact, we have done a cover story of this drama if you look into the archives in our website. So do listen to this, enjoy this, and ruminate on his love, ruminate on him who is ever installed in our heart. Let us offer our every moment to him. Let our faith never ever falter, and let our grow, and let our love grow evermore every passing day. Thank you so much for being with me. And finally, a loving sairam from all of us from the studios of Radio Sai as you wind up this Thursday live from Prashantinilayam. Thank you. Sairam.